Visiting today with Chelsea Good with Livestock Marketing Association. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you doing?
So far, so good. It's been an interesting year, has it not?
Absolutely. Yeah, may you live in interesting times. I think people are wanting to see the terms and conditions on 2021 before we sign up for another one.
Well, talk to us a little bit about what you guys do as a company and how you've really kind of had to change that for this year with the whole COVID-19 pandemic.
Absolutely. So I work with Livestock Marketing Association. We are the national trade association that works with your local sale barns, livestock auctions all over the United States. And I don't think I'm ever going to forget the week in March where I actually was in Washington, D.C. with some of our livestock auction owners. We had a Washington, D.C. fly-in March 8th, 9th, and 10th. And we knew what COVID was, you know, going into that week, but had no idea how dramatically it was going to impact our lives and how quickly. It was kind of interesting to watch it play out on Capitol Hill. You know, Monday of that week, things felt pretty, you know, normal. By Tuesday, people weren't shaking hands anymore. We flew home midweek. You know, Kansas City's home for me, and I had market owners flying back to Oklahoma, North Dakota, all over the place. It was, you know, that Friday that the president declared a national emergency, and it seemed like the COVID reality kind of became a really big whirlwind. And the first thing that we did as an association was just work with our leaders in all 50 states and many local municipalities just to help them understand that we've got a critical food supply chain in the cattle industry and livestock auctions are part of that chain, that they need the ability to continue to operate. So getting them those exemptions as essential was kind of step one, but right alongside that was a recognition that we had to adjust the way we did business in order to have that social license to continue to operate and to keep people safe. So we reduced the number of people that were at a livestock market. Typically, it'd be a place where you've got, you know, members of the community coming together. There's a cafe. It's social in addition to being a place to sell your livestock. It became just the minimal number of people to get the job done, you know, staff and then the buyers, but even the sellers of livestock were asked to drop their livestock off and head on home. Many were able to watch kind of through an online broadband, you know, stream of the sale, and we saw more and more auctions that maybe weren't streaming prior to COVID started to stream, or some that had been streaming their sale start to allow for internet bidding as well, just to allow people the opportunity to participate without physically being there in person.
Well, and I don't know that some people may not realize that, you know, when these auctions and these plants shut down, that shuts down your way to get beef.
Absolutely. You know, it shuts down an important supply chain. And we saw, you know, total run on beef, especially there in late March, early April. It's what consumers want. So, you know, maybe let's look for silver linings. It was clear that our product, beef, is something that consumers are excited about and something that they're wanting to prepare at home. That's a good thing. But we needed to continue to have that supply chain going to get cattle from, you know, the ranch to the backgrounder, from the backgrounder to the feed yard to the packer, to keep that beef moving. And, you know, the other thing is in some of these, you know, producers' communities, you know, the only way to get a paycheck is to go sell some calves or a cow. And we needed to make sure that we continued to operate for our rural customers and these producers in these rural communities for their livelihood as well.
Well, and some people don't realize that animals do have an expiration date, especially mm-hmm. when you're in the process of this business. And that doesn't mean you can just keep them an extra 3 and 4 months. And that was where it was becoming really problematic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we definitely saw that in pork and poultry in particular. They just have a shorter lifespan than we do in cattle. We have the ability to slow cattle down to a certain extent, you know, put them on a maintenance ration and do some things, but that only lasts for so long. And we really ended up having a backlog of cattle that we had to work through coming out of some of these major processing challenges that we had in our industry.
Well, you touched on this a little bit of a silver lining, but do you think going forward, you're going to still see more and more folks looking to virtual auctions? And is that going to be something that's pretty popular going forward?
You know, I think so. I think that folks that tried their hand at it, liked it, and are probably going to continue it. You know, and oftentimes it's kind of something that happens in conjunction that you still have the fixed facility, you still have the option going there in person. If that's someone's preference, they can be there in person to buy, but just adding that additional opportunity online, I think just adds another layer. And I anticipate that that's something that folks continue to have. It was a growing segment to start with. COVID just really pushed it down that track quite a bit quicker.
Well, markets, of course, very important to producers, but talk a little bit about how they do ensure competition.
Absolutely. So price discovery has just been a really hot topic in the cattle industry this year in particular. And I think if you want to see price discovery in action, a livestock auction is where you need to go. Because it doesn't matter if you're selling a couple calves or you've got a whole load of calves, what an auction can offer you is the ability to sort those animals. They know what their buyers are looking for, put them in the most marketable packages, and then have multiple people there sitting in the stands bidding against one another. And just that auction environment creates some excitement and enthusiasm and pushes prices up.
And we've seen a little bit of that go away just because not as many people are allowed to necessarily be at auctions like they were in the past. But I think looking forward to 2021, we'll see all of that come back.
I think so as well. I think there's a lot of people that are excited for a return to normalcy. I know 31 people in particular that are really excited about it. We had to delay our 2020 World Livestock Auctioneer Championship that was scheduled for June of this year. That's now going to be June of 2021, and I know that those auctioneers are excited for that chance to compete, and our members are just excited for a chance to gather again.
Chelsea, can you do the auctioneer song?
I can't, but I have a fun fact. I have a fun fact. The auctioneers love doing that song, so it's by Leroy Van Dyke. There is good family lore that that song is about my great uncle Paul. I regret to inform you that it's not, but my great uncle Paul Good was an auctioneer that actually was a fieldman for drovers at the same time as Leroy Van Dyke. So they ran around together some. I believe the song is actually about Ray Sims, who was a boy from Arkansas. Paul Good was an auctioneer from Van Wert, Ohio, but kind of a cool family history there.
Yeah, I'd be claiming it. I'd just roll with it. If someone asked
you,
I'd
just be like, oh, yeah. I've not found a way. My grandparents are in their 90s. I have not found a way to, like, break it to them that, like, yeah, I've done some more research. It's not actually about Uncle Paul. I just don't think we're going to be able to break that news.
That's awesome. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on.